I've just spent 2 hours in my hotel room, and as a consequence, the sun has come out, and it's gloriously warm. It's so hot, you really would wonder where you put the suntan, sun protection. So I'm walking now past the people in the green uniforms from some other pilgrimage, and I'm walking back down to the domain again. I have no idea where the brother has gone. I have no idea where the mother has got to. They went their separate ways. We went our separate ways. So it's just lovely to walk through, past the shops. And sometime I might be tempted to go into one of these shops and give you a little description of the... But it would shock you to know how many different types of rosary beads you can have. Let me just stop here at this one for a second. I'm looking at orange beads with gold string holding them together. For 88 cents, you can get a rosary beads. Very simple. Now you can go up to 151 and you can get a fancier one. Smaller beads, can't be more of them, but smaller beads. You can then move on to ones that have pictures in them. And you move along from, what did I say, 151, 152, 172, 199, 209. I'm just going to jump ahead now to 299, a pair of rosary beads for 299. Now, if they're not good enough for you, I'll take you up to a pair here that are 876. Chapelet Bois, Grand Rond, 7 millimeters. Chapelet. Wow, made of wood, I guess. Now, that's 876. Now we get into the more dramatic ones here. I'm not sure what this is made of, but they're large, large, substantial, chunky things. But the creme de la creme that I can see here in my hand is one that costs $11.75. Got a big picture of the Bernadette in front of the Virgin Mary. And big, large balls, like pearls, really. Bigger than, I mean, if somebody wore them as pearls, you'd be shocked they were that big. Big twine, and a good, big, substantial crucifix that would fill my hand, and my hands are not small. So that you can have for, as I said, $11.75. Now, I'm going to walk around the other side here, because they're all the wooden ones, and I can tell you that if you're averse to wood, or if wood doesn't suit you, you can actually get rosary beads made of onyx. I'm looking here at little glass beads, little glass ones, or two. Excusez-moi, s'il vous plaît. Pardon. I'm just moving here past here some very shiny ones that are silver, little silver balls. I just want to move up to just see what the top of the range one is. Well, in the glass ones, if you like, there's a Girelli or something like that. These are turquoise, really. It's very difficult actually to name all the colors here. In fact, they're labeled here to be vert, vert, vert. Must mean they're made of glass. So they're made of glass. And they've got silver chain. They've got a pretty discreet little crucifix as well. So, you know, there's something for everybody here. Even plastic ones. Feels very plastic. 270. And there are people here who are picking the one that they want. Fingering them and checking them for... Or will they suit them? My mother has a rosary beads that belong to my father, and she treasures it and has brought it with her to Lourdes. I think she's actually brought two pairs of rosary beads to Lourdes. And I remember my father's rosary beads as being heavy. You know, they were made before the development of very light metals, really. So they were quite quite heavy, and the beads would have been, I vaguely remember what they looked like. They certainly, they're well worn. They're very, very brown. So they probably picked up a lot of, my father used to smoke a pipe. So that meant that he must have done something with tobacco. I know he pushed tobacco down into his pipe, and he had a little instrument for pressing it down into the pipe. And at the other end of that instrument was a thing with a point on it. So he used to scrape the pipe, I'm sure. And then he would turn the pipe upside down and knock it. And I'm going back a very long time with these memories, and so I'm not sure when I last remembered my father's pipe smoking days, but other people in my family will remember, I'm sure. Well, in fact, since I'm the eldest in the family, I ought to. Not that that's a pleasant word to use. I ought to have the longer memory. I ought to have more material to remember, if you like. Actually, that's an interesting thing, you know? That the older you are, the more material you've had to work on. But actually, then the memory starts to hide itself a bit from you. So it escapes you. So maybe there's a kind of balance out. My daughter, who's 6, can probably remember everything that she's ever experienced. Although that isn't quite true, but you know. Anyway, I'm entering into the domain. And it's very different now from what it was early this morning. Early this morning it was cool. Now it's warm, and people are underneath the trees in the shadow of the leaves. People have all got their coats off, and I've left mine behind me. And it's crowded. Tonight's a big night, I think. Tonight is when the Saturday night candlelit procession is the big one. So that'll be on this evening. But meanwhile, I'm going to walk down to the grotto. I'm going to try to see if my mother is still where she was at 2 o'clock, which is very unlikely. Probably very sensibly taken off for tea and biscuits. Maybe I'll drop in and see if I can get some tea and biscuits with the Les Invalides. And they're very friendly over there. And I think actually that's what I'll do. Before I go anywhere near the grotto, I'll go and see if I can get an afternoon tea. It's about time for a cup of tea. Oh, there's a lady with a Canon camera, just like mine. Probably knows how to use it better than I know how to use mine. But I'll tell you something. Being out in the middle of the square, if you like, in front of the... Listen to this. That is the Ave Maria. At 4 o'clock. 4 o'clock French time is 3 o'clock Greenwich Mean Time. Nick Holloway Vox hanging out now. I greet you. I punctuate my day. I offer you that sound. I'm with you in spirit. Right, I'm with you as much as I would be with you ever. Being physically present isn't all it's cracked up to be unless you are actually wholly present. And I feel myself to be wholly present with Nick Holloway Vox and friends right now. Standing in the middle of the plaza, piazza, whatever you call it, in the center of Lourdes, looking front on at the cathedral. Took a lot of effort and money to build that cathedral. But it's like St. Mark's Square in Venice. It's a big, wide, open space. With the sun beating down on top of it, it's a fierce, fierce place. I speak from experience. It's a fierce place to be. This is our first experience of hot sun on the pilgrimage. after a short while, maybe tomorrow, the sun will become merciless. And those seats that those people are sitting on under the, I'll call them plane trees, I can't tell you what they are actually. They're those lovely trees you get in France. Whatever they are, must ask somebody. They're doing well. I notice none of them are smoking. I see nobody smoking. I see no cigarette butts on the ground either. What is it about Lourdes? Now, don't get me wrong. There are people who are smoking here. I don't know where they are, but the fact that I don't see them doesn't mean that they're not here. I imagine there are quite a lot of drug addicts in Lourdes. A lot of people come here. All kinds of people come here. Not just righteous people. Self-righteous people come here. Not just sinners come here. Repentance come here. Yeah. I'm hanging out in the center of Lourdes. With some very dear friends in mind. And you know, that's what people do when they come to Lourdes. They're often asked to pray. Prayer. People have different ways of praying. Somebody says, say a prayer for me. Well, they don't prescribe when they say that, but they may mean, you know, recite a decade of the rosary, say an Our Father, a Holy Mary, a Glory Be. Just saluted David, one of those Brancardier heroes, as he walked past. Probably been to Lourdes, you know, 35 times from the Limerick pilgrimage. But hanging out in prayer, what does that mean? Yeah, there are some people who find it very, very helpful to have a ritual to go along with prayer. In other words, they recite one they learnt as a child and they repeat it all their life. That's what they mean by say a prayer. Ar Nahar, Atha Arnav. Gnefer Tanning Gadagad Thoriash. Oh dear. Ar Nahar Atha Arnav Gnefer Tanning Gadagad Onaron Huin Lawn. I can't say it. As a child, I learned prayers by often, if you forgot them, you had a good run at them, you know, and they came back to you. If you would like to reverse the car up a bit and have another go. And the body will produce the memory. And you'll make the prayer. There's another meaning of the word prayer. And it is to hold in mind. To hold in mind. And I'm actually holding Nick Holloway Box and friends. And those of them who will hear this audio will know exactly what I mean. I'm holding them in mind. And I'm also holding in mind the few people who asked me to say a prayer for them in Lourdes. 4 o'clock. 5 past 4, maybe now, 3 minutes past 4, whatever it is, Saturday afternoon. I'm sitting on the edge of the river, looking down at two ducks, one of whom has got its head right down to the bottom of the water and is grubbing around, I suppose. And I look out here, and I see good people. And I would say that I am praying right now. That this is a prayer. Because I am holding in mind something. In this case, a community, a small little community. And actually a wider community, because I think of one community, I think of the people who have asked me to pray for them. Don't get me wrong, very few have. But one or two have. I was very pleased to be asked, honoured to be asked, you'd say. Then I think of other communities that I have, I hold in my mind now. Sitting here by the side of the River Tarn, alone but never alone, I offer this prayer to life, to being human. Didn't have to be human. Could have been a stone, could have been a tree, could have been a dog, a cat. And in a sense, I couldn't. You know, I couldn't have been anything other than I am. But for purposes of prayer, I give thanks for being human. And I hold humanity in mind. You know, grubby humanity, greedy, avaricious, proud, slothful, toiling, rough, fierce, unkind, vicious, nasty, envious mankind, destructive, undermining. I hold that humanity in mind. And as I hold the humanity of the dispossessed, the humanity of the minority, the humanity of the prejudiced, the humanity of the racist, the sexist, the homophobic, the humanity of all of us, I hold all of it in mind. Oh yes, it's easy to hold the humanity of the good, the generous, the loving, the kind. The humanity of virtue. Well, I find it easy to hold that. I do my best to hold that in mind in adversity. Don't get me wrong, I don't spend my time... But this is a prayer, so in prayer, you can hold something out of the usual in mind. You can think of those who are, you can think of serial killers. You can think of pedophiles. You can think of heretics. Think of monstrous human beings. People who we all disapprove of. You can hold them in mind. And it's often struck me that there are, for every one of those awful type of people, if you like, awful type of humans, there are some humans who find within themselves the ability to reach out to those people and visit them in prison when they're incarcerated, spend the last few hours with them before unkind people use the electric chair on them. Yeah, sitting in Lourdes. It would be easy to focus on the river and the nature, but I want to focus today on the underbelly of humanity. My own underbelly, really. The peace of the unjust. Kindness to the unkind. Okay, I'm not pretending to be an angel. I'm just doing something that I feel like doing out of an impulse. I knew I was going to pray in Lourdes. I knew I would pray. In fact, I said to myself before I came that every step of the journey to, in, around Lourdes in and of itself is a prayer.